In 1810, the Bavarian Crown Prince Ludwig married Princess Theresa, and all the citizens of the realm were invited to celebrate in Munich. This was the start of Oktoberfest. Originally, Oktoberfest was non-alcoholic. Beer was served only outside the fairgrounds in the early years. Today, it's considered the world's largest beer-drinking festival that celebrates, among other things, love and the harvest. Today, many churches around the world celebrate some form of Oktoberfest, especially those with a German heritage. Some celebrate as we do, with worship and German food and root beer, while others have evening services and partake in a more authentic version of the festival. Happiness is one of the main topics. Happiness has been a topic of intense study since at least the 1920s. Particularly, studies have focused on how happiness in the workplace correlates to overall productivity, worker retention, and customer satisfaction. An article in the July 2015 Harvest Business Review states that firms have spent money on happiness coaches, team building exercises, game plays like having paintball fights with your coworkers, a term that I've never heard of called funsultants, and chief happiness officers, which is actually an official title at Google. But recently there has been pushback on the idea that happiness and worker productivity is connected. First, we don't really know what happiness is or how to measure it. What makes me happy may bring others to tears. For example, one thing that I look forward to each year is something called the Society of Biblical Literature Annual Meeting. At this meeting every year, academics from all over the world gather, and there are between 400 and 500 different sessions, three or four or five a day that last 3 hours long, where professors, academics, present papers on research that they're doing. This week, I got the catalog for this event, and I have been savoring this because there are it's 500 pages long, but it describes what each of these sessions entails, and it has the list of the papers that will be presented. So I am slowly savoring this, going through a day at a time and only picking one session at a time, because I don't want to do it all at once. And when I get there, I'm going to be there with my friend who is a professor at the University of Miami. And we're just going to go to these different sessions. This is something that we've done on and off for the last 10 years or so. Does this sound like fun to you? Likewise, my wife loves to dance, and the even thought of dancing makes me feel embarrassed. Someone said that I look like a robot glitching when I am dancing, and I know that I'm very self-conscious about that. So I hate dancing. There are things that some people enjoy that bring happiness that others really can't stand, and vice versa. So how do you measure happiness? Another problem with happiness is that it doesn't necessarily lead to increased productivity in these studies. You've heard the saying that they don't call it work for nothing. Sometimes our vocations and our home lives can make us unhappy. Sometimes we are called to work long hours, a task that can make many of us frustrated. Yet we know that behind those frustrating hours, good work is being done. And we can acknowledge that even though we have to work long, hard hours or do things that we may not like to do, that the work is somehow valuable. Finally, happiness can be exhausting, especially if you are asked to be happy. Happiness is a convenient idea that looks great on paper, and having a chief happiness officer sounds awesome. But studies, even studies dating back to the 1800s, have shown that the drive toward happiness can become a heavy burden and a responsibility that is never completely fulfilled. In our passage from the book of Proverbs, there is an idea. Happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding. For her income is better than silver and her revenue better than gold. And our word happy here has a very specific context. In wisdom literature, it's used to describe the state of well-being and joy entered by a student who is following the teachings of a master. It's those moments of joy when you've learned something new that you know is meaningful. Often this word is translated as blessed, a term that focuses less on the transient emotion of happiness and more on the state of overall well-being. The master in the book of Proverbs is praising the goddess wisdom here, a divine personification of the good life. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. According to our banner outside, one aspect of being the church is to enjoy this life, the life that we have been given, the life that we have made for ourselves, the possibilities that life has to offer for us. And for the most part, we have learned, or we know, or we have intuited what makes for a meaningful and fulfilling life. I enjoy life when there is time to spend with my family. I enjoy life when there is time to read, when there's time to be outside for working or for walking. And conversely, when I do not have time for my family, when I do not have time to read, when I do not have enough time to spend outside, I become a curmudgeon. And I was feeling like that on Friday. You know, been a really long week, and the weather was so beautiful outside my window in my office. And we had many things to do. On Fridays, I have my two-year-old son, Miles, in the mornings, just the two of us. And there were many things on our checklist to do. One of them was to run down to Lampman's, and we live fairly close, so we often walk. So we headed that way, but Miles kind of really didn't want to do that and just kind of headed off through the soccer field behind Lampman's, and we ended up on the Hart Trail, which is really a wonderful resource for this town. And it was wonderful to be walking along the trail. The weather was perfect. The leaves were falling. We saw snakes slither. And when we got to this really steep part of the trail, in this like great kind of Minnesotan accent, Miles started going, "Oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh," with every step. And it was cute and it was wonderful. Did this cure my curmudgeonliness? No, I don't think so. I think that it was helpful. It was a good reminder, though, for me, because it reminded me that there are things in my life that are helpful that I need to be doing and that I can be doing. It's not something that I just have to add on to an already busy schedule. There is much to enjoy in this life. With the wisdom we have, we understand that life provides things along the way that can cause us great joy, even in the midst of sorrow. But I think that this is not only an exhortation for each of us to enjoy this life. Rather, the church, the community of faith, is called to do the same, to enjoy this life together. We are called to identify those things in our lives together that bring nourishment, honor, pleasantness and peace. You know, perhaps it's something like a fall retreat, something that we've been doing for years, where we can set a certain time away from the hecticness of our schedules and just simply be in nature and learn a little bit something about Scripture. Perhaps it looks like the work day we had a few weeks ago when the work of a dozen or more souls made life a little bit easier for the rest of us in ways that we probably don't see. Maybe it also looks a little bit like today, a time where we can bring all we have at this moment, come to church, plop down in a pew, and share in some good-natured fun. A time when we can lift up the struggles of the world in prayer and still praise a God for the blessings that exist. A time when we can laugh with neighbors and friends and maybe even people that we don't know that well at all. Because every life should have some enjoyment in it. May we be faithful to the call to enjoy this life. May we be blessed in our search for wisdom and encouraged by those around us who are searching for the same thing. Amen.